Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsync. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsync, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of Ecomsync. And today we bring you another special guest, very close friend of mine, Racy Ryback, who is one of, I would say, the top influencer in the Amazon space. She's amazing. Everything that she brings in terms of knowledge, in terms of how to be a successful influencer in the Amazon space, and how you as an Amazon seller can leverage that, is top gold. So that's why I wanted to bring Gracie today, because she's going to share some insights about how you can leverage things such as TikTok Shop to, you know, increase your sales on Amazon. So Gracie, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. Hello, Vincenzo. I'm happy to be here. First time on your podcast.
I made it. I don't know how many times I've been, you know, networking and meeting Gracie other Amazon events. I say, Gracie, please come to my podcast. I need you to share some wisdom. And I made it.
We made it. Long time coming. We made it.
Cool. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, give us a little bit about your story, because you have such an amazing background. And now what you do in the space, you know, it's amazing. So tell us how you went from, you know, being a regular person, jumping into being now an influencer. Everybody knows you in the space. How that happened? Tell us.
So back in 2020, I was just making content on TikTok for fun. And I think what a lot of people say, like, I never expected to make a cent off of social media. I just didn't think I was the kind of person who could do it. I saw people doing it and I was like, could never be me. But then I was posting content for fun, sharing Amazon deals. And then I after the fact, learned about the Amazon influencer program, affiliate marketing, how to monetize social media, all that. And then as I was making my content, brands started reaching out and I started connecting the dots of like what I'm doing has a result for sellers on the other side. And I started learning more about that world, seller being a brand on Amazon and everything that comes with that. And so I started working with more brands and learning about how my services could help them and what I was doing already could help them. And, you know, I met some of the people that we know, and from there I met everyone else.
That's how I'm here. Wow. And I think, to be honest, it's no surprise. Like every single time I see you promoting some products out there, it's like, wow, those brands are going to make a lot of money. You really know how to promote products, and you do such a good job. And I think it's funny that you mentioned the fact that you're not expecting to make a living out of this, because I feel that's something common that happens with influencers. Like sometimes it starts as a side hustle and then you discover this passion, and then you also realize you're good at it. And then, you know, it goes from there. You know?
It's a great potential job, but I think I've heard a lot of people say, oh, they have so-and-so followers, but they don't make money.
Yeah.
So there's a side to monetizing for sure.
Yeah. And we're going to for sure talk about that as well. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So as I said, TikTok is this thing that is pretty much every single where you go, TikTok Shop is the next big thing. We are seeing how it's been a topic that also in the Amazon space is being creating a lot of noise, because, you know, a lot of brands have been very clever in terms of how they're partnering with the right influencers into TikTok Shop, that not only they are creating now an extra revenue stream in TikTok, but as we briefly say, it's creating an effect in Amazon. And I also want to go deeper into that. So I guess that's a high level, and then we start going deep into the rabbit hole. Like, what do you feel is the reason why TikTok Shop is creating this big effect in the e-commerce space?
The reason that TikTok Shop has blown up so much is because TikTok was converting to sales basically towards Amazon up until this point. So people were making really authentic content. They were making like really great product reviews or just unboxings in a very natural way. And I think that is why it converted so well. It wasn't very curated. It wasn't like an ad. It wasn't studio quality. It was just real people like you, like me, like our friends, making real content. And then people started discovering products that way. And they were like, okay, great, I'm sold. I'm going to go buy it on Amazon. TikTok realized they were sending all this traffic and all these sales and unimaginable amounts of like revenue and money to Amazon. And they were like, if we're selling on our platform,
what are we doing?
Why are we not keeping the money in the traffic? So then some really smart person was like, we'll just start selling directly through our platform. And this is not new, because remember, Instagram tried to do it. YouTube is trying to do it. Like, they're trying to bring the sales onto their platform, but nothing converts like a TikTok does. And that's why I love it so much.
Yeah, I love it as well, because it's bringing this thing that I feel Amazon is still missing to some extent, which is that connection that you don't get to a screen, right? The fact that you have a person talking about the experience they have with the product. And at the end of the day, let's be honest, when somebody shops on Amazon, you don't really have the opportunity to touch or interact with the product. And now that you have the person that you trust because it's your favorite influencer that talks about X, like sports or doing things in the outdoors or things that actually connect with you on a personal level. If that person tells you go to Amazon, buy the product, you're going to trust them, right? Because you're missing that link with the platform. So that's why I think it's booming, because people now can really fill that gap that you only get into going to a physical store, but now you can go and do it from scrolling. You see something that you like, click a button and that's it. The product is at home, right?
Exactly. And on Amazon, like you said, you have PPC, which is, you know, a very, very big topic, but it doesn't bring that same memorable. It's just a listing that you get to see, but you don't, you know, get sold the same way as if somebody were using it in a video. Right.
Yeah. And you mentioned something that interesting, PPC and video. We have also seen that when we do videos that are very high production, they don't convert as well if we use ECG within our PPC videos, because I feel people starting to realize that very high-end commercial videos are, to some extent, a little bit fake, that they're really, very commercial. And now people want to see more authentic, you know, a person in pajamas talking about the product and saying, I love this product. That's it, you know?
Exactly. That's so true. People want the studio quality, but it doesn't convert. Yeah.
Now, talking about TikTok, right? Something I'm seeing more and more is that not only people using TikTok Shop to create, again, a second, basically, marketplace for their business to generate revenue, but it's basically a content machine. Like, you can make so much content at scale now because the amount of influencers, and you can be very clever in terms of how this, to some extent, create a ripple effect on Amazon. So tell us a little bit about how you're seeing some of these Amazon sellers using TikTok for that.
Yeah. So in relation to just the general amount of content on TikTok, the algorithm prefers multiple posts a day. So it's different from Instagram, I think, before, when it's like, okay, post like a few times a week. TikTok really rewards you for like quantity of content. So that's first of all, there are so many people just like making content and so easy to find them. And then in relation to TikTok Shop, they have a really great, I think, affiliate database where you can sort through creators. You can sort by GMV, which is the revenue that they're driving on TikTok Shop. You can see their shoppable content. And then you can sort by keywords, search for creators, like do all this research. And the data is so good there. Like it's so helpful. So basically now, instead of going to the wild, wild west of just searching the platform for creators, you have access to this database, which is, I think, what a lot of brands were looking for to make it easier.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, something that people don't really know about TikTok is that at the end of the day, once you create your TikTok Shop, I mean, we can go a little bit in detail so people is aware of that. Pretty much, TikTok opens the whole catalog of people that is willing to do free content for you in exchange of a commission. So tell us a little bit about how the process works, because sometimes when we talk about influencer marketing, people still have the connotation that influencer marketing is very expensive and you need to pay thousands of dollars upfront and all of that. But now TikTok actually have democratized the whole industry and it's very accessible to most people, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So when I was making content, I want to say like maybe a year ago, I was personally not a fan of the commission basis partnership, because I thought, if I'm going to do the work of making the video and basically it's all dependent on sales of the money I get, sometimes I'd have to pick and choose like which one I want to dedicate my time to. But then TikTok really shifted the culture there, because now they're giving us increased commission. It's not 2 to 4% commission. It's like 20, 30% commission. So with every sale you're getting, maybe 10, 20, 30 bucks per sale. So all of a sudden you're starting to make videos, but then you're surpassing the earnings of any flat fee you could have gotten from any kind of partnership.
You make more than the brand owner to some extent.
No, that's so true. That's actually really true. I know brands.
And you have like, no risk at all.
Yeah, we've paid out hundreds of thousands in commissions.
Yeah.
And you're paying per sale, so you're getting the sale, but like you could never ask for, let's say, $50,000 for a flat fee for the video.
Yeah. Well, unless you're like a Kardashian or something crazy, but yes, I definitely.
Exactly. But it's a win-win, and I really like the strategy now.
Yes, of course. Now, when it comes to this, you mentioned something there that is so important to know, which is quantity.
Yeah.
And I feel for some Amazon sellers, this could be a struggle because let's be honest, for some Amazon sellers, make a lot of multiple pieces of content on a daily basis, it can be challenging, right? So from your experience, like what are some of the advice you can bring here to the table in terms of maybe do you recommend using some AI tools when it comes to that? Do you recommend some software? What is your advice to really go at scale when realistically sometimes you don't have the team to do it, you know?
When you're talking content at scale, I think there's three ways to do it. So there is AI, which is a great tool. I'm super happy it's there, but we're still not at the point of AI where we can translate the authentic human factor that actually converts into a sale from an AI video. You get content, sure, but it's not the same yet.
But over time, people know it's AI and it's not real.
Exactly. And sometimes it looks even worse than if you had just like a really bad video from a real person. Then you have UGC sites. So that Billow, Join Brands, stuff like that. You could get, let's say, 10 videos, 25 videos and pay, let's say, under $100 each for them. You could do that. And then there's just working with influencers directly. So those are the three ways to do it. And now that you have the ability to just reach out through TikTok, through these marketplaces, you can get in touch with them. And I always say, not everyone's going to respond and you're going to have like a percentage that you actually get to work with, but you can do that mass outreach now.
Yeah, something as well I want to add on here, and that's why I wanted to bring on the show is because I feel the other connotation that people have with influencer marketing is that something that they only do once, or as soon as they start doing it, they're going to get an outcome. That's wrong perception. That's why people get burned because they think, oh, I just get the most expensive influencers in 1 week and they're going to make me the next Apple, right? And it doesn't work like that. You need to nurture the audience and create a connection between their audience and your brand and the familiarity that it takes to get you there. Now, being said that, usually, what is your advice when, let's say, you talk to a brand and say, okay, I want to start doing influencer marketing, but I want to understand realistically what are some, you know, timelines. And I know this is going to completely depend on budget and so many things, but realistically, the point I'm trying to make with this question is like, this takes time. It's not something that you do influencer marketing for a week, 1 month, and you see the results. So what is your take on that?
I definitely agree that I think a lot of people look at it as like a one-off situation and they expect virality. They're like, I'm going to put all my eggs in this one basket and it's supposed to make a huge difference. And I'm going to go viral and I'm going to be great after that. When you have that situation, it goes viral immediately. Like consider yourself very lucky. That's typically not how it goes. So like I said, you're going to reach out to a bunch of influencers, work with a few of them. The timeline, you should always allow for more time than you possibly need. There's a lot of typical back and forth of just negotiating out details per campaign. And like you said, it's a long-term thing. It's part of your marketing strategy overall. It's not like, oh, we're going to do one campaign. If it flops, it didn't work for my brand. There's like so many opportunities. You can start out small with like a very, very small budget. You can do those commission only deals, get started that way, learn which influencers work best, learn what worked, what didn't work, improve over time instead of saying, oh, I did it once, I tried it, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, of course. And I like the fact that you give that breakdown of doing it on a gradual basis, because I feel that's the only mistake. People go all in or they don't do it at all, right? Then one influencer to an influencer, let's see what happens. And feedback loop, and then you start increasing from there.
Exactly. And there's so many optimized ways to do it where it won't take up your entire day and it's not going to take up too much time. Like I'm always talking about using AI to help make these campaigns simpler, make outreach templates, just examine content, source for influencers. Like AI can do it all these days.
Yeah, so, I know.
Yeah.
There's no excuse now. In fact, we were at the seller sessions, mm-hmm. and I remember Steve Simonson was sharing so many tools that you can use for influencer marketing, and it's mind blowing. Like, you have no excuse now.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. Now, another thing I started to see with TikTok Shop as well is, of course, we're talking about the quantity of the content, but at the same time, I feel like you can find a lot of influencers, but sometimes it's tough to filter them out because, let's be honest, there's also a lot of good influencers and also some that can really burn your brand and connect you with some kind of audience that it can actually backfire you, right? Yes. So from an experienced influencer such as yourself, like, what are some of the tips you as an influencer can give to some brand owners to really understand what is the right influencer for the brand? Yeah.
Yeah, I always say that you should allow the influencer to try out your product before you force them to make content about it. Sometimes you send out a sample, let's say the influencer doesn't like it and they're not going to post about it. I saw this happen recently on TikTok. This girl, the brand started commenting on this girl's post saying, hey, we sent you a sample. You never made content. Like, basically,
like forcing him, like blackmailing. Yeah,
exactly. And then girl was like, I wasn't going to say this because I didn't like the product, but since
you're rubbish.
Make a video, it's rubbish. Like, here's all the reasons I hate it. So there will be times like that. Your product is not going to work for everyone. Make sure it's a good fit and that the influencer has positive things to say before you go and force them to make a video. Not every sample is going to result in a video, and that's how it goes. And then making sure that it's a good fit. Like, just because an influencer has a lot of followers does not mean they're a good fit. You should be looking at engagement rate and average video views and potentially generated revenue, those three factors, before you ever consider working with an influencer. And then you can always look at their past content.
Exactly. And
I've been like on the other side of things, kind of working with influencers as well. And I see that, you know, maybe they have millions of followers, but their content is not at all product related. Mm-hmm. Why would I work with them?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're pushing a product when that's not what they typically
do. And it's going to feel fake even on their audience. If you're always making videos about, I don't know, camping, you never done a pro unboxing, and then out of nowhere you throw me the best camping gear out of nowhere and you don't use the pro. It feels fake. Yeah.
And they don't know how to speak to the products as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Of course. Cool. Now, another thing I also see when it comes to doing influencer marketing is, and I'm sure you get this a lot, is like, Amazon sellers are very impatient creatures. That's the reality. And we already talk about timelines, but at the same time, for whatever reason, we are attached to the fact that everything has to be quantified with a KPI and all of that. And I feel influencer marketing, and this is from the foundation, what branding is as a whole, sometimes things cannot be quantified, right? Because they have so many touch points that you just have to see it from the bigger picture, right, on a specific a change that you do with an influencer, hoping that's going to give you a ROAS. So when you have this conversation with Amazon sellers and they ask you, okay, what is the return on investment going to get here and there? So what is usually your response for that? Like, what is the perspective they should have instead when doing this kind of strategy?
I'm a huge proponent of explaining that influencer marketing is different from paid ads, where you can invest a certain amount of money and you can't guarantee you get 6x back. That's not how it works. There's so many things that truly aren't quantifiable. There's like brand awareness, there's ranking juice, there's like just general feelings towards your brand. Somebody may have discovered your brand, gone to your listing, checked it out. They know about it now, but they didn't make the sale. And you can't just
quantify that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, like based on this simple sales that I got, this is the success of it. Because you might have this whole world of good that you have discounted. Because you're only looking at sales. So you can't look at it that way. You have to realize it's part of the marketing strategy. Unless you want to stay on Amazon as like one of the millions of brands and you actually want to make a name for yourself, you're going to have to make that name off of Amazon through this and not just look at simple sales as like the only factor.
Of course. Yeah. Just, I would say the best thing, which is usually what I do, just allocate 5-10% of your budget. Understand that it might work out, it might not work out, but just see as a budget that is a fixed cost and just trust on the, believe in the process, and long term, eventually you're going to see the results, you know.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing I also want to start touching, then of course, I want to touch on other areas in terms of how we can do influencer marketing from the TikTok Shop, so we can conclude this chapter. How do you see influencers pushing this kind of promotion towards Amazon? Do you see it's very common lately that influencers on TikTok will say, oh, go and find this product on Amazon? or you will say most of the content is only in terms of the generic product and the brand, and then people by nature go to Amazon. What do you feel is working the best from that?
So obviously the goal of TikTok Shop is to keep traffic on the platform and keep sales within the platform. However, as of right now, it's not always happening that way. So what I've seen a lot is that if people say, here's a product, people want to buy it, they will go and search, find, buy it on Amazon, which is great for the brand, great for the seller. Yeah, yeah. If the brand has any say over what the influencer says, you could say, this is the brand name product. This is like, search for blah, blah, blah.
And then they go.
You don't have to say like, search for this on Amazon and like have it as a clear call to action. But if as long as you provide the keywords that people need to search in the video, people will then search, find, buy it on Amazon. And that is external traffic. So
yeah, of course,
it's really great that the sales are translating to Amazon. And I think purely it's just because of the fast shipping, free shipping, and the customer trust of easy returns and the how easy it is to just make a purchase on Amazon. TikTok Shop currently, sales over $30 get free shipping, but if you're not buying something over $30, you might have slower shipping or expensive shipping. Not expensive, but you have to pay. So that's why Amazon is currently still getting some of that leftover traffic.
Yeah. And I feel as well, and maybe you can validate this point, I feel in TikTok, as soon as you start going over $30, there's a lot of friction because for whatever reason, TikTok have trained their consumer to be very emotional driven in the sense that they do things based on an impulse, right? And if you have things that are $10-$15 you buy on the spot, you don't even think about that. But over a certain price point, I'm sure you're noticing this, there's more friction and they need to go Amazon, add it to the basket and come back later, you know, that kind of behavior.
A lot of TikTok Shop products have like TikTok funded promotions right now, so they know that, and that's why they're adding coupons to like, you get 30% off of your new to TikTok Shop first purchase, free shipping on first purchases. They want people to like make that first purchase so they can start trusting the platform. And I know TikTok Shop is focusing so much on trust factor, making sure the sellers are, you know, verified, real, not just like drop shippers, not resellers. They're really focusing on the quality of the marketplace.
Nice. Now, shifting a little bit from TikTok, because I mean, I would say TikTok is definitely the place to be when it comes to generating that influencer awareness. But let's be honest, not everybody can open a TikTok shop. We know it's sometimes a bit tricky. Yeah. I want to bring to the table for the last part of the episode, like, what are some of the other channels you recommend as an influencer? Because there are many more that sometimes people don't really know that exist. And I would like to, you know, for you to share some wisdom with us about that.
Yeah, so of course there's TikTok Shop, like we've been talking about, there's Walmart, there's Etsy. However, I totally understand each new marketplace is a new project. It's a new job, it's a new culture, it's different to learn, and each platform comes with pros and cons. If I had to pick one channel outside of Amazon right now, it's TikTok Shop. Like, don't wait, because I can see the progression of the platform going. Promotions are getting fewer. They're not pushing as many videos. They're getting enough brands.
They're depleting. All the money's been depleted, right? So they're going to go slower in aggressiveness. Exactly.
So if you had to start another platform, that would be the one I recommend. But other than that, Walmart, Etsy, eBay, like whatever makes sense for the brand.
Yeah, yeah. What about social media? Because I feel at the end of the day, the essence of influencer marketing started to some extent in the traditional Meta, right? I want to bring this a little bit back to the conversation as well, because I feel it's something that people are so busy now with TikTok Shop and everything, but I still see, like, if you work with the right people on Instagram, Facebook, and all of that, or deal sites, it can also be, you know, very effective. So what's your take on that? Do you feel it's losing a little bit the effectiveness to some extent, or you still see brands having a successful influencer strategy in those areas?
I think I've seen a lot of brands have success, especially if they go about it the right way, as in letting the, like, the brand only has so much control over what the content looks like. So the brand's job is to make sure the influencer is a good fit and it matches the brand and they like the kind of content that the influencer is producing already. And I don't like it when brands are saying, here's a script, here are talking points, here's everything you have to say. You have to say it this way. Otherwise, you're going to need to refilm the whole thing. A lot of creators know exactly what converts with their audience and they know how to talk to their audience. So once you're like, it's gluten-free and vegan and 100% GMO, then you start sounding like an ad and that kills all trust factor. So sometimes brands are more focused on sounding proper than converting. And sometimes legally you have to, but a lot of times let the influencer work. Like, they know what they're doing, clearly, if they've built the audience and done what they've done. So give them creative control, and that's where you're gonna get the best results.
Cool. Now, another thing as well, I'm curious to know is when it comes to influencer marketing, it's multiple types of content you can basically generate. It could be a picture, it could be a video, it could be a live stream, which I'm a huge advocate for that. So what do you see working the best? From experience, live stream has been very successful for me, but again, it depends also on the type of influencer, because you, and I remember when Amazon Live, which now Amazon Live, I feel is a little bit dying, but before it was a huge thing. So what is your take on the type of content? Do you have a favorite when it comes to that?
Yes. So as you know, I've been doing Amazon Live basically full time for 3 years up until this point. And I do think there still has been that difference between the success that people have seen in China versus the success of the year. I just feel like people don't have the attention span that stays long enough to like really stay for like an hour to 2 hour long live stream.
That's TikTok fault.
I know, our brains are just, but now I think if you had to choose a type of content, I would focus on short form video. I would not dedicate a huge chunk of energy towards live streams right now. If they fit and they make sense and you've seen success, do them, great. If you're doing a live stream, make sure to get the content and chop it up into clips and reuse it where you can. However, a lot of people say, they have one video, it's like a one-off, post it on TikTok and that's it. I always recommend if you can have a short form video, make it TikTok style, because other styles of videos don't perform on TikTok, but TikTok performs on everything. So make it in the TikTok style with it short, attention grabbing, text hook, whatever you want to do, and then repurpose that one piece of content onto everything. Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, Pinterest Idea Pin, Amazon Shoppable video, put on YouTube Shorts. You have so many platforms.
There is some tools that use AI that can do it like this.
Repurpose.io. Anything.
Wow. Cool. Now, and to start concluding, I would say I want to touch a little bit on the promotion that usually gets attached to influencer marketing, because I know a lot of people feel that also when they have to do influencer marketing, they have to usually run huge coupons or promotions, or otherwise they feel that it's not going to be effective. But I have seen a lot of brands that do influencer marketing keeping the original prices, right? Yeah. And I feel they saw some kind of strategy that comes down to, you know, what works best for the brand and influencer. But I want to hear your take on this, like how you make the judgment in terms of if you need to be very aggressive with pricing or you need to respect your retail price and position yourself as a premium one. Like, what is your experience on that?
I'm such a like deal psychology person, because I am a victim of just buying something because it's on sale and because it has a good deal and a good price. I'm like, I don't need it, but maybe one day I will.
You never know.
So I think if it makes sense with your brand, if you're very premium, high quality luxury, maybe you don't want to play with price and deals, but I think it definitely does help. Like whether that be a price drop or a coupon, it's going to help. But the way that I suggest using promo codes, and it doesn't have to be 50% off or whatever, it helps a lot with influencer tracking. So you could do like influencer name 50, influencer name 50, like have a couple different promo codes, make sure they're not stacking, of course. Yeah. But that'll help you track who's creating the sales. And when you have a promo code and you're working with a creator, the creator obviously wants to benefit their audience, give them a deal, but they have more incentivized purpose to share the promo code. And then the audience is more likely to convert when there is an active promo code. You don't know how long it lasts, when it'll drop in price again. So it helps with conversion in every sense and tracking.
Awesome. Now, my last question to you is like, all this sounds amazing, but as we said, if we don't find the right influencer, it's going to be very tough. And I feel a lot of people struggle to really find either the right platform or the right systems to find the perfect influencer. So what is your take on that? Do you have a methodology that you want to share, some hidden gold nugget? What is your take?
Utilize the Instagram creator marketplace, TikTok creator marketplace, all these like on-platform creator marketplaces. That's where you're going to get the most accurate data. You're going to get data that you can't find anywhere else. You can search by keywords, see their previous content. Like, we don't have a database like they have directly within the platform. So utilize those, shortlist creators, and then reach out to them. Really, the job is to look at the quality of content, the engagement rate, average views, generated revenue. Those are the things to look at. Do not look at vanity metrics like number of followers, number of likes. Those are all faked these days. So another thing about these like creator marketplaces, you can trust that they're, you know, real. So you can see where their followers are from, demographic, make sure that their audience demographic matches your audience avatar. That's the goal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a better way to conclude that with that. And Gracie, it's been a pleasure. I'm sure a lot of people might be wondering, but what if I want to have Gracie to be my influencer? What if, you know, she can help me make my brand be the next big thing? And I'm sure you can, because I have seen it. So how people can reach out to you and maybe, you know, talk to you about influencer marketing or work with you?
So. I'm open to questions and happy to help out if it makes sense to. My email is contact@dealcheats.com. And that's how to spell deal sheets.
Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Gracie. Pleasure as thank usual. And see you soon at some of the Amazon events for sure. Mm-hmm. Take care. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.